Bicatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something that, well, I think hits a lot of us, that feeling of creative paralysis. We're diving into Austin Kleon's book, Steal Like an Artist. It's a kind of a manifesto, really influential.
Oh, absolutely. It's perfect if you've ever just stared at a blank page, you know, and felt that huge pressure, this idea that creativity has to be completely, totally original out of nowhere.
Right. That if it didn't just spring fully formed from your head, it's somehow not valid.
Yeah. And that thinking just cripples you.
Yeah.
It's the fast track to feeling like a fraud, like an imposter.
If you're not instantly this like isolated genius, then maybe you just can't do it. But Kleon, he just takes that whole myth apart and offers something really practical instead.
He really does. And honestly, that myth of pure originality, it's just not how things work, historically speaking. And definitely not today, not in this information age we're in.
We're constantly swimming in ideas, aren't we?
Exactly. So the real skill now is synthesis. It's being able to filter and curate and then transform the ideas that are already out there. That's the valuable creative skill, whether you're, I don't know, starting a business or writing poetry.
Okay, so let's get into the person behind this. Who is Austin Kleon? What's his background that gives him this unique viewpoint?
Well, Kleon's a New York Times bestselling author, an artist, but he actually calls himself a writer who draws, which I like.
Interesting.
What makes his perspective quite distinct, I think, is his background. It's his combination of seemingly opposite things. He worked as a librarian.
Okay. So systems archives.
Right. That systematic thinking. But he pairs that with being a working artist.
Yeah.
You know, that more intuitive visual side.
The organizer and the expressive creator. That makes sense. That blend must really feed into his whole philosophy of remixing things.
It totally does. And he lives it too. His most famous project is probably Newspaper Blackout. Have you seen those?
I have, yeah. Where he takes a newspaper page.
Exactly. Grabs a big black marker and just blacks out most of the words.
Yeah.
What's left, the words he doesn't cover, makes a kind of found poem.
It's such a clear visual example of his idea, isn't it? The creativity isn't in making the words, it's in the choosing, the subtracting.
Precisely. It's the constraint, the arrangement. That's the creative act.
Okay, so let's dig into the book itself. Steal Like an Artist. It's short, very easy to read, right? Built around 10 main principles.
Yeah, 10 short, punchy chapters.
So what's the like the central thread holding it all together?
The core idea, really, is that creativity is synthesis. It's about remixing. It's thoughtful transformation. Kleon argues that pretty much every great new idea or artwork is actually a mashup of things that came before.
So it shifts the question.
Right. Instead of asking, how can I possibly be original, which is paralyzing, it asks, how can I steal smartly, ethically? You know, to find my own voice.
But that just feels lighter, doesn't it? It gives you permission to just start without carrying this massive weight of needing to be utterly unique.
Yeah, it's incredibly freeing. And it's not just for artists in the traditional sense. It's really for anyone feeling stuck. Students, entrepreneurs, people trying to innovate in their jobs.
It's like a toolkit hidden inside a manifesto.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It covers the whole creative journey, really.
Yeah.
Finding inspiration, figuring out your style, building routines, which is crucial, sharing your work, and even just dealing with the practical sort of unglamorous side of making things happen.
Okay, let's get into some of those specifics. Chapter one gives the book its title, Steal Like an Artist. What's he mean by that? What's the difference between, say, good stealing and bad stealing?
That's the key distinction he makes right away. Bad theft. That's just plagiarism. It's copying someone else's work without understanding it, without transforming it, without giving credit.
Just ripping it off.
Yeah. But good theft, that's different. It's about study. It's like digging into the family tree of your influences, your creative ancestors. You look at why something works, you take it apart, understand the mechanics, and then you build on those lessons to make something new, something that's yours.
So you're not just imitating, you're investigating like a detective.
Exactly. And that implies something important. You need to develop taste. You need the judgment to know what's actually worth studying, what's worth borrowing, and frankly, what's just noise to ignore.
You have to be a good collector before you can be a good creator.
That's it, exactly. Be a collector first.
Which flows nicely into the next point, something that really fights procrastination. Chapter two, don't wait until you know who you are to get started.
Oh, this one's huge. It tackles that classic paralysis where people think, I need to find my voice first, or I need to figure out who I am before I can create.
Right, like you need a fully formed identity before you can make anything.
And Cleon just says, no, that's backwards. Your identity doesn't come before the work. It emerges from the work. You figure out who you are by actually doing stuff, by making things.
It kind of validates that fake it till you make it phase, doesn't it? Which can feel awkward, but maybe it's necessary.
It's totally necessary. Think about musicians. The Beatles spent ages learning Chuck Berry songs, note for note, before they became the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Or think about early Conan O'Brien trying to be like Letterman before he found his own weird, brilliant thing.
Copying your heroes is just practice. It's how you learn the fundamentals.
Exactly. It's part of the process. Now, switching gears a bit, chapter 4 might surprise some people, especially now. He says, use your hands.
In our super digital world, why focus on pens, paper, or physical stuff?
Because, he argues, working with physical analog tools actually engages different parts of your brain. Computers are amazing for editing, polishing, sharing the later stages.
Sure, for refining things.
But the screen, sometimes, it can kind of stifle that initial messy exploratory phase. When you're sketching on paper or moving things around physically, you introduce different kinds of constraints, happy accidents, things that a perfectly smooth digital workflow might smooth right over.
It's like having an analog backup for your brain.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. The physical constraints can actually spark unexpected ideas. If you're stuck on the computer, sometimes the best thing is to literally step away and draw it out.
That idea of freedom, maybe finding ideas in unexpected places, that links up with chapter 5. Side projects and hobbies are important. This feels like pushback against the idea that everything has to be monetized or career-focused.
Totally. Side projects are crucial because they're low stakes. Mm. There's usually no money riding on it, no client breathing down your neck, no real pressure for it to succeed in a conventional way.
So you can just play.
Exactly. It allows for genuine experimentation, foreplay. If your day job is, say, coding, maybe your side project is learning pottery or something completely different.
But isn't there a risk of just adding more things to do? We're all so busy.
That's a fair point. But Cleon's angle is more about diversifying your creative inputs, not just adding more tasks. It's about feeding your brain from different sources.
Ah, okay. Not exhaustion, but cross-pollination.
Right. And he points out that often these things you do just for fun, these side projects, they end up being the source of your biggest breakthroughs later on. Or sometimes they even grow into your main work eventually.
Okay, now for maybe the least romantic sounding principle. Chapter 9, be boying. It's the only way to get work done. This really flies in the face of the chaotic artist stereotype.
Oh, completely. And it's pure practical wisdom. His point is that creative work takes a lot of mental energy. If your life outside of the work is constantly chaotic, you're stressed about money, your relationships are messy, you're not taking care of your health,
then all your brain power goes to just managing the chaos.
Precisely. You're burning cognitive fuel on survival, on logistics. So to do sustained, serious creative work, you actually need stability. You need routine, discipline. You need the practical parts of your life handled.
So the boring stuff enables the exciting stuff.
Exactly. The structure supports the freedom needed for the art. Being boring in your life frees up energy for your work to be exciting.
And wrapping up the principles, chapter 10 is creativity is subtraction.
This comes back to that idea of constraints being helpful, not harmful. It reinforces that point. When you have limitless options, infinite tools, endless time, it can actually lead to paralysis. You don't know where to start.
The paradox of choice.
Right.
Yeah.
But limitations, whether it's a tight budget, a deadline, a restricted set of tools, they force you to make choices. They force focus. And often, that leads to way more innovative solutions.
Like the famous Dr. Seuss story. Right, writing The Cat in the Hat.
Exactly. He was given this challenge to write a book using only a very small list of words, something like 236 specific words.
Which sounds impossible.
But that constraint forced him to invent a completely new, rhythmic, iconic style that changed children's books forever. The limitation sparked the creativity. Subtraction creates focus and power.
Okay, so we've walked through some key principles. If we zoom out now, what are the main recurring themes or messages that someone listening can really grab onto?
Well, the first huge one, I think, is that mindset shift about originality as transformation. Cleon basically says, stop trying to invent something from nothing. Instead, focus on taking existing things, ideas, styles, techniques, and combining them in a new, thoughtful way.
It just takes so much pressure off.
It really does. The second big theme is process over product. This comes from ideas like be boring and use your hands. It's saying that sustainable creativity isn't about chasing some single amazing result. It's about building consistent habits, good systems, just showing up and doing the work day after day.
The daily grind, but in a good way.
Sort of, yeah. Then third, and this is really relevant now, is the idea that information curation is a primary creative act. In this flood of information we live in, just being able to find good stuff, filter out the junk, connect ideas, and arrange them, that is a major creative skill.
And that connects to his idea of a swipe file, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Which is basically just your personal collection. It could be digital, could be physical, of things you find interesting or inspiring, articles, images, quotes, bits of code, whatever. You collect it deliberately to reference or remix later. It's like building your own private library of influence.
Your intentional input stream.
Perfect way to put it. And finally, there's a strong theme of generosity and connectedness. He really pushes back against that lone genius's myth.
Yeah.
Creativity thrives in community. So share your process, show your work as you go. That's his show your work idea. And maybe surprisingly, he emphasizes just being nice, being part of a supportive network. That's in chapter 8.
It feels very collaborative, suited for how we connect online now. Okay, Kleon is also great at boiling things down into really memorable lines. Let's touch on a few key quotes.
Yeah, he has a knack for that. Very quotable.
Okay, how about this one? You are, in fact, a mashup of what you choose to let into your life.
That's all about being intentional, isn't it? If what you create is based on what you consume, then you need to be really deliberate about your inputs. Want better ideas. Seek out better, more varied influences. Be a curator of your own mind.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out, essentially.
Very much.
Okay, here's one I really like. The work you do while you procrastinate is probably the work you should be doing for the rest of your life.
Oh, that's such a great insight. It's like a diagnostic tool for finding your real passion. If you're supposed to be doing your taxes, but you find yourself redesigning a logo for fun or reading history books, pay attention to that detour. That's probably where your natural energy and interest lies.
Where your effortless creativity flows.
Exactly. And one more. For anyone nervous about sharing their work, don't worry about people stealing your ideas. If your ideas are any good, you'll have to ram them down people's throats.
Yeah, that tackles the fear of theft directly. He's basically saying, look, the biggest risk isn't someone stealing your brilliant idea the second you share it. The biggest risk is obscurity that nobody even notices or cares.
So share freely. Getting noticed is the harder part.
Right. Good ideas usually need a lot of pushing and advocating, not just hiding.
Okay, this is all great theory. Let's make it super practical. How can someone listening apply these ideas, like right now?
Okay, first, for your own creative growth. Stop just passively consuming the work of people you admire. Do some good theft. Actively deconstruct it. If it's a writer you love, maybe retype a page of their work just to feel the rhythm. If it's a designer, try to recreate one of their designs to figure out how they did it.
Get under the hood. Study the system, not just the shiny surface. Exactly. Then professionally, try applying the stealing idea by looking sideways at completely different fields. If you're in, say, customer service, maybe study how high-end restaurants create experiences. If you're in tech, look at storytelling principles from filmmaking.
Borrow solutions from unexpected places.
Yeah, cross-industry inspiration. And third, when you're thinking about building an audience or professional presence, shift focus. Less about just shouting about your finished product, more about embracing that show your work idea, share your process, the messy middle, the insights you gain along the way.
Document the journey, not just the destination.
Right. That builds trust and connection way faster than just self-promotion.
For me, you know, the biggest thing I'm taking away from revisiting this is just the sheer sense of permission Kleon gives. You don't have to wait to feel like an artist or have some grand vision. You just start doing the work. And the doing makes you the thing. It lifts a huge weight.
Yeah, I totally agree. And for me, it's the way he demystifies creativity. It stops being this magical, elusive thing only gifted people have. It becomes a practice, a learnable skill based on intentional influence, consistent habits.
Yeah,
even boring routines. That makes it feel achievable for anyone.
It really does. Okay, so since all creativity is synthesis, here's a final thought to maybe noodle on this week. What's one really unexpected, maybe even obscure, source of influence you could deliberately bring into your world? Could be an old technical diagram, a piece of local history, a weird instruction manual.
Go find something wonderfully irrelevant to what you normally do and see how you can connect it. Mix it up.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.